a hoot in my mind, in my opinion. So it enhances flavor. Now, how that applies to the Christian is that God has placed us in this world right here to do the same things. That we are to preserve the truth. We know about that. We're to preserve, goodness and to have a positive influence on the world. In other words, salt doesn't work unless you use it, by the way. And so we're to preserve or stop the corruption that's going on in the world, to slow it down. Now, it's out there, but I'll get to that point when I get to the fight part of it, but that's what the church's purpose is right now, and then the church's people, Christians, is to stop the corruption of the world, to help stop that. And so that's why he said, ye are the salt of the earth. And then also enhancing flavor. In other words, make life better. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, to make life good, to make life better. So that's why Jesus used an illustration, said, you're the salt of the earth. And salt was, we use it a lot, but they probably used it a lot more in that day as far as this goes. And then he says, also, you're the light of the world. And he talked about a city on a hill can't be hid. And men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel because you want the light to shine. And he said, let your light shine. And, of course, light does some things. It shows the way. We're put in the earth to show the way to God. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're to lead people to Jesus Christ. And then also we let the light of Christ shine in our life, and so people can see that. One of the things that light does, it reveals things. Criminals, when they want to commit a crime, they usually try to do it in the dark. They don't want to do it in broad daylight. So what do people do? They put night lights up and lights out there because it's not an attractive place to do evil. So God says, listen, you're the light of the world. I want you in the world because I want you to hold evil back. There's a influence that we have, and I'll show you in a real life illustration in a minute. There's an influence that we're supposed to have in the world if we'll take a stand, if we'll stand up for Christ, and if we'll stand up against evil, and we can slow it down. We can stop it in a lot of cases, and that's why. Light does that, and then also light has a drawing power. People are drawn to light when they see something, especially if you're in a very dark place. I shared this illustration years ago, back when, we would go out hunting. Man, nowadays when I go hunting now, I got a pack on my back. I got a GPS. I got a flashlight. I got extra batteries. I got a water bottle, man. I got more junk in there. It looks like a woman's purse when you open that thing up. Can't find anything in there. Back in the old days when I was young, man, I'd go hunting. I'd get the little workhorse, two AAA batteries in it or two AA batteries in it, and I'd have it in my back pocket and go out there and hunt all day. I wouldn't even know what time it was. I didn't even have a watch. And we go out there, and I went out there one day and sat all day. Somehow in the course of the day, when I sat down, I turned my flashlight on in my pocket, and I didn't know that. And my brother-in-law said, oh, man, I saw a bear up there by the rocks. I said, well, man, I'm going to go up there, and maybe I can hunt him. And man, I got up there and sat all day long, and, buddy, it started getting dark. And it's cool bear hunting when it's daylight, huh? But when it starts getting dark and you think there's a bear around and you got a bow in your hand, no gun, no nothing else, I pulled my flashlight out, and it looked like a match right after you blow it out. I mean, it had a little orange glow when I turned it on. I said, think I'll go out of here. So, man, I started going down the mountain, buddy. I was making a swath down through there, man. It got dark. I mean, I'm cutting down through the laurel bushes, and I was like, I probably left hunting gear scattered all over the side of the mountain getting down there. And my brother-in-law, we always met at the rock. It was this rock on a point that came down. He said, I'll meet you at the rock. And I was going down through there hoping, I couldn't see. And he turned on his flashlight down there. He heard all that racket coming down the mountain, He turned that light on. Well, I'm going to tell you which way I went. I went right to that light. I was so glad to see that. Matter of fact, it was brought joy in my heart. It was joy in my heart when the light came on. I said, that's where I'm going. And I went down there, man, heading on. I said, man, thank God you're here. I said, my flashlight's dead. And, we got smarter when we got older. Now we're prepared. But back then we didn't do that. And so it draws, you're attracted to light when you're in a dangerous spot, in a bad spot. And I've had people over the years, when I was still working a job and they knew I was a pastor of a church and I still worked a full-time job. And even people, I had a guy one time, we got at odds with each other, man. I thought it was going to come down to a knockdown drag out, but it didn't. But anyway, I tried to mend things, and I talked to him one morning before we went in. He's down at the other end I was in there welding one time, and here he comes. I flipped my shield up when I got done, and there he's standing there. He said, man, I got a question for you. He had a question about the Bible. See? Now, he didn't go to nobody else in the shop, anybody else that was in there. He came to me because he knew that I was a preacher, and so he knew that I was a Christian. See, there was light there, and he had a question, and that's where he went. He went to that light. That's what Jesus is saying, that you're the light of the world, and we're supposed to be a light. So we're supposed to be salt, and we're supposed to be light. And then I want to get this point here. I want to spend more time on this than the other two, because I know most of you probably already understand the salt and light illustration. Then it's the fight. The fight. You know, salt doesn't exist for itself. I mean, it doesn't do anything for itself. Light doesn't exist for itself. Both of those things are meant to be used, or they're meant to be made for use or made for a service. You got it? Okay, now he said, ye are salt and light. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for him. Now we exist for him, but also for the rest of the world. We exist for the rest of the world, that we can be of some help to the rest of the world. That's what it's in, he's intending right there. Now, you know, because it says ye are the salt and ye are the light of the world. So we're intended to have an impact on the world, the same impact. We're to protect from the world from corruption, to heal the land, to make life better, to show the way to God, and to reveal evil, all the same way as salt and light. Now, here's the problem. And I've seen a lot of this, and just from reading history. The church as a whole, at one time in the world history, and even in our country's history, in our time, had a lot more impact than it does now. And I wrote down here in the last 50 years, but guarantee you, it's been longer than that. It's been longer than that. In the over the last 50 years, we've lost. We're the salt that's lost its savor. We took our light and we put it under a bushel. We haven't had the impact on the world, and it's all because, you know what, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart, but at the same time we're kind of hoping that evil's not going to get worse than it is, and those type of things. We don't want to do it. And you know, and that's not what God intended. You know, it has to do with engagement, you know, to be engaged, and I want to talk to you about that. And you know, we think about this. We're here in the church tonight. Here we are, and y'all believe what I'm telling you, and you believe the Word of God, and you know the truth right there, right? And it's okay. We're supposed to encourage one another. That's a point. But as far as what's going on in the world out there right now, us in here don't have an impact on the world out there. Other than unless you learn something in here, you know, you get the truth and then you take it out there and do something with it. So what I'm saying is, not we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to do all that. But what we do in here, you know, we're supposed to take out there otherwise. Because what we do in here is not having an impact. It's like being a monks in a monastery or something like that. It's not impacting the world. And, you know, so we have to get out of here to have that impact in the world. You know, we have a light on in the building, but a light in here doesn't impact the world. And so I put shake and shine. You know, you can have salt in the salt shaker on the counter all day long, but unless you take the salt shaker and shake it on the food, it doesn't impact the food at all, does it? It's just sitting there. Well, we got salt, but it's sitting in there. Looked in my salt shaker today and had nothing in it. You shake it till you blue in the face, nothing come out of that. But it doesn't work unless you use it or shake it on the food. It doesn't change the food in any way, shape or form. And so listen, I thought about this illustration. It kind of reminds me, you know, listen, we're on the winning side, all right? We've got God on our side. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what the church has been for over 50 years has been like the little cowering kid, and the bully is punching on the kid, and you know, you're watching and you keep thinking, when are you going to fight? Hit him back. You know, there was a great, I use Andy Griffith illustration. You remember the one where Opie and his milk money? Y'all remember that one there? And the little bully was meeting him on the corner and he said, what are you going to do if I don't give you my milk money? He said, knuckle sandwich, right? And so Opie kept giving him his milk money. That's us. That's the church right now. The world out here bullying us around and saying, boy, if you do anything, we're gonna give you the knuckle sandwich and that. And finally, Andy had a big talk with him, gave an illustration. And finally, you know, he told him to tear into him like a windmill in a hurricane or something like that. And boy, he went in there and boy, boom, boom, boom. And at the end, how'd it come out? He said, I got my nickel. I still got my nickel. As a matter of fact, here's a nickel I owe you. He got another nickel out of the boy right there. Huh? That's the church, man. We would let the world push us around, bully us around, and we're swinging and punching, and all we're doing is cowering in the corner, and we're looking and saying, when are we going to come out of that and get back out there? I'm not saying go out there and hit anybody, but you might have to. But I'm saying, you know, we can go ahead and take a stand because, you know, we've got the Lord on our side, and we've got the truth, and we've got the Holy Spirit of God, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Now, there's some positive things, and I want to tell you about, share this with you. In the presidential election that we just had, people were saying after it was all over, and I'm talking about even people that were kind of hoping that Donald Trump would win, or maybe Christian folks, and people that didn't want him to win. A lot of people are sitting around scratching their head saying, how did this happen? I mean, when you really think about it, you know, when you think about the overall thing, I mean, Donald Trump, listen, his personality and such, and I can see how he might grate some people and just the way he goes about things and the way he does. You're thinking, how did this guy, I mean, I'm still kind of saying, how did this guy win the election when it was just, everybody thought there's no way. Of course, it didn't hurt that Hillary was running against him, but, you know, how did he win? How did he get elected? Well, I was reading this magazine. We get this magazine. Does anybody get, maybe Miss Markham, I think you do, that Decision magazine. Do you get that from Billy Graham? Anybody else get that? You get the Decision magazine. You see the one that just, it was the one in there. I got some of this stuff out of there. I was looking at it. And it says that 9 leading members of Donald Trump's cabinet, including Vice President Pence, are participating in a weekly Bible study and prayer. Man, that just recently in the last decade or so, we'd have never thought that this was going on in Washington, D.C., right? Guess what the topic of their Bible study is? The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. That's the topic of the Bible study that they're going on. And it gave a list. Listen, this is who's in the Bible study now. This is our nation. This is great. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt, the CIA Director Mike Pompeo, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue, along with the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. They're having a weekly Bible study, man. They're studying the salt and the light verse that they're looking at that too. Amen? I mean, man, that's something to think about. And listen, on May 4th, Donald Trump signed an executive order to protect our religious liberties. And he said, we will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore. We're giving our churches their voice back. Well, amen to that. I mean, I'm all for it. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you something. The cotton-picking church should have never lost its voice, whether we had a presidential sign an executive order or not. We should have never lost our voice. It don't matter whether he signs one. And I mean, I thank God he did. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that he did that, and I'm glad he's saying we're giving the churches their voice back. We should have never lost our voice. It don't matter. Now, what he did was, that means this, that executive order, in the past, I couldn't do this. But I can do this now. The next presidential election, I can stand up here and say, I'm voting for so-and-so, and I think that's who you ought to vote for. I could have said before, I'm voting for so-and-so, but I couldn't say, I think that's who you ought to vote for. I couldn't say that. Now I could do it if I want to do that. But this is great. Now, I mean, listen, Donald Trump, he's not perfect by any means, I'm going to say, but he's not lighting up the White House with rainbow colors in support of gay rights. I mean, I will say that right there. And then he appointed conservative Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court, which we needed that greatly right there. So what I want to say, and the reason I said all that, you want to know how he got elected? God did it. Huh? God did it. God did. Is he perfect? No. Neither are you. Neither am I. See, we're not perfect. And so, hey, listen, man, I thank God for that. One of the things, I know that Mike Pence is a devout Christian. And we have our prayer meeting on Tuesday night. I pray for Mike Pence because, man, I keep thinking like of Esther in the court. And her uncle, Mordecai, he said, who knows that God didn't, who knows but that God didn't get you in this position for such a time as this? Huh? I mean, listen, man. We're one heartbeat away from having a devout Christian as the president of the United States, like right now. And I ain't wishing any evil on. Listen, I'm not wishing nothing bad on. I'm hoping that Mike Pence can get him. And he's made a profession. I know that the president has made a profession, but I don't know where his head's at. And listen, everybody that makes a profession, they're not going to be all of a sudden just super spiritual people, and they're right there where they ought to be. But man, what an impact that just to know that, hey, there's hope. We got hope because we got a Christian in the White House, man, salt and light right in there. He's not afraid to say it either, man. And look, he's got some of the leading people that's leading our nation. And there's other senators and all. When I saw the National Day of Prayer thing last year, blew me away. They had senators and congressmen and people coming up, and they were coming to a podium and they were praying and they were making comments, and it wasn't just a few. This thing went on for hours now. I think it went on for like 6 hours. People coming up, and I thought, good night, who'd have thought in Washington, D.C. that much praying is going on from people that were in Congress? And man, it was good to hear. But here's the thing. If there's that many people, if it takes 6 hours to get through everybody in Congress, how in the world are we letting the liberals push us around and bully us around and get all this liberal stuff passed through Congress? How are we getting it done when there's... Because I'll tell you why. Because we're not being the salt and light that we ought to be. We're not in the fight. We're just good, sitting around saying, well, I just hope it don't happen. And not doing nothing about it. I mean, man, you know, you got to get engaged right there. And there's a right way to do it. I'm tell you about that. There's a right way to do that. And so... listen, I mean, we need to get out there and shake the salt shaker and let the light shine. Listen, God designed and empowered us to impact the world. The same magazine had a big article in there about when North Carolina was trying to decide who was going to use what bathroom. They couldn't get that figured out. That a whole bunch of Christian people went down to the city council meeting and they opposed it, man. They stood up and let their voices heard. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. Them bleeding heart liberals that are out there, them God haters and all that, they're going to squeak, man. They're going to get up there and they're going to run their mouth, and you get two of them in a room, and everybody, and they're all saying, oh, man, we don't need to have this, that, and the other thing, anything to do with God. And all the Christians just sit around going, gee whiz, that's terrible. I hope they don't do nothing about it. And all they hear is that. Which way you think they're going to go, man? But if about 30, 40, 50 Christians come up again and say, nah, man, listen, nah, we're putting God first. You know what? They'll shut up. They'll shut up and it'll get done. They went up there and did that. And then it had another family that was there. It was a lady in that same magazine talking about her middle school son came home from school with a booklet explaining 12 ways to use a condom. You know, this is what they send home with a middle school kid for that. And so the mom went down there with a couple other moms and they complained to the school board and asked for a change in the curriculum. And the school board said no. No, we're not going to change it. So this mom wasn't going to give up. See, sometimes, you know, you gotta persevere. So she wasn't going to give up. So it said the next school board meeting, she got more parents. She got the media. She got the pastors of the school board members to come to the meeting. That's pretty slick. Got all the, they're the school board members up there that said, oh, we're going to promote this sex education curriculum. And there's all the pastors sitting out there in the crowd looking up there. And it said they didn't want to continue to defend an inappropriate sex education curriculum in front of all that was going on. So they said, hey, we got to have a timeout. We got to go in a private session. And they went in there and discussed it. And they came out and said, hey, we're going to throw that out. And we're going to put a abstinence curriculum out there for the kids. Right there. I mean, man alive. I said, you know what? It worked. See, because the salt was there. The light was there. And there was all this evil. There was this corruption that was going on. And when the salt and light showed up, it stopped it. See, but you had to get there. Somebody had to get out there. We can't. You know, we got to get in the fight. Man, we got to get engaged in what's going on in the world. That's what God intended us to do. And I'm not telling you, listen, you don't have to be hateful. I'm not telling you to be hateful, and I'm not telling you really to punch somebody in the head, of course, unless they punch you first. But I'm just telling you, you know what, you can go out with love and you can say, look, this is wrong. This is wrong. We don't need to go that direction. And this is what we need to do, and take a stand. Let your voices be heard, and you know, get some of this stopped. Listen, we can engage others with the gospel. There's people out there dying to get saved. I said something about it, and I think I got a note down here about it later, but we're seeing people get saved here. We had 22 people in the last couple of months get saved. You know why? Because we're talking to others. We're engaging. There's so many people that we come in contact with, so afraid to talk to them about the gospel, and they don't get saved. But guess what? It works. You start telling people about Jesus Christ, not everybody's going to get saved, but there's a lot of people that do. They ask Jesus to come into their life. They see that they have a need, and it's all because that some people are finally. And not, listen, the whole church isn't doing it, but just think if it was. I mean, people are starting to get saved, man. We're seeing people come in. I got other people we got to baptize. I mean, because we're starting to shake the salt and let the light shine right there. And so, listen, I'll tell you what you can do. This is some things. And you can call members of Congress and say, hey, this is how I feel. I took a poll one time and asked how many people in the church had ever called a member of Congress, the governor of the state, anything like that. And it was just very few, like one or two people had ever done that. I got all the phone numbers in my office. I got a little book. Nowadays, you got your cell phone, right? You can just, you know, talk to the thing and it'll tell you where to call. And there's house bills. Eddie Aliff's going to be here next Sunday. Eddie Aliff from the VAIB, Virginia Assembly of Independent Baptists. He's in Richmond every week, all the time during Congress session. And he calls every now and then. He sends his stuff. He sends emails out and says, look, House bill such and such gives you the number. He said, this is a bad bill. Call the congressman and tell him it's a bad bill. You don't like it. You want them to vote no. And when they get a bunch of calls, listen, they know. They like the votes, right? When they get a bunch of calls in a day and 100 people say vote no and one person says vote yes, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to vote no. It changes, man. And Eddie will give you some stories. And I said this morning, he'll give you some stories on how bills were. It just looked for sure like they were going a certain way. Had one of them, so many calls came in on the day of the vote. It changed the vote. Get engaged. And another thing you can do, you can call members of Congress that are taking a stand. You can call these guys right here that are praying, having a prayer meeting, and say, man, I read in there where y'all having a prayer meeting. I think it's great. I just want to encourage you that. And the Bible tells us to be encouragers, right? We're supposed to encourage one another. Call the Christian people that are doing right. Because somebody votes right, you can get them voter sheets. And somebody votes the right way, hey, you're sitting around texting and Facebooking and all that junk you do all the time. Well, why don't you just Facebook, text, and or call the congressman and say, hey. Because sometimes, usually you don't get them. Sometimes you get a human being on the other end, though. More times than not, you get, and you say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I live in Buckhannon, Virginia, and I was reading where Congressman whoever voted in a positive way on this bill. I just want to thank him for it. Encourage the people, man. Give them some encouragement. That's a way to fight right there. Fight corruption. That way it'll give him encouragement to take a stand again when he's got to go against the flow right there. And so then also, you know, and stay true. Listen, change doesn't come in a hurry. Change sometimes is just little bits and pieces at a time. Don't get discouraged. Just keep working, keep praying. Now, here's the thing. Why have we disengaged to start with? It says that if salt loses its savor, how did it work? Let's see. If salt is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Now, as I said, unless you use some kind of electrical process, it actually won't lose its savor. But let me tell you something. You got a handful of salt and you got a handful of sand. And you put them together, can you ever get that salt out of that sand? Or dirt, if you want to use dirt, it's a good illustration. You can't get it out. Can you use it? You can't use it. I ain't throwing a handful of sand in my food or a handful of dirt in my food just because it's got salt in it. That's what happens. You get dirt, you can't use it. You can't, it's not good. He says it's not good for anything. Listen, and what happens is that dirt and that sand, that pictures the world. And what happens is the church has gotten so mingled up with the world that it's not good for nothing other than to be trodden under the foot of men. And that's what it is. And what it is we got mingled with the world, with world philosophy, with world views. And listen, the world didn't force its way into the church. The world didn't force its way in. We let it in, and in some cases, even invited it in to the church. And it's mixed. It doesn't have any power. I like that boy in the book of Acts, man. I tell you what, when you look back at that church right there, I was sharing this with my nephew and his wife, who they probably need to hear some preaching in that line of things. But, you know, we were talking about the church pure, man. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, when they were in the early church, and they just, like, they didn't flat out tell a lie. They just kind of let people believe something that wasn't true to make themselves look good. And God killed them, man. God killed them because it was in the early days of the church, and he kept it pure. Okay? But boy, when you look in the book of Acts, man, and I mean, it says fear came upon everyone. And people walk in the church, and there was an awesome presence of God in the church. And when people came in, two things happened. They either got saved, got right with God, or they got out. I mean, they couldn't stay in that environment. Sin could not exist in that environment. It was a powerful church. See, but what happens when everything gets all mingled down? That church had an impact on people just coming in. When it gets all watered down, it doesn't. It doesn't have it. And it's just like salt that's mingled with the world. And that's what's happened. So we've invited it in. We've kept a light on in these monasteries and in our convents, and it doesn't help anybody. And like I said, we started seeing salvations around because a few people just started going out, talking, asking, you know, shaking the salt shaker and shaking the light and doing what Jesus commanded us to do and expected us to do. And he empowered us to do it. You got the power to do it. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying fear is not going to be a present and real thing that you have to overcome, but you can do it. You know, you can overcome those things. Listen, all we have to do is shake and shine. Shake and shine. Shake the salt shaker. Let the light shine. It'll make an impact in this world right here. We don't have to give up on the world. Jesus Christ, He died for those people too. Amen. He died for those. We don't have to give up on that world. I mean, man, just get in the fight. So sometimes we get so tired. I hear parents sometimes talking about their teenagers and the kid. Oh, I just got tired of fighting them. I'll just let them go ahead and do what they want to do. No, don't get tired of fighting. That's your kids. Fight for them. Huh? Don't say, well, I'll just get tired of all what's going on in the world. Nothing we can do about it. No, there's something you can do about it. The problem is you haven't been doing it. You haven't done anything about it. Do something about it. You know, we can be a light. We can be a salt and light in the world and help influence people for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand with their